Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to share something with you this morning. It's not really part of my sermon, but I'm just feeling led to share this with you. When I was growing up down the street from where I lived was a single mother, and she had two children. And you know, this was back in the early mid 70s, and quite a few years ago. And they moved away, and I heard that the mother, she actually was in an accident. A train hit her car and killed her. And I never really knew what happened to the two kids, a boy and a girl. And didn't hear too much about him for years and years. And then I heard about the boy playing high school football in Buffalo. And he played football, was a good football player. Then I lost track of him again, and never heard much about him anymore until about 4 years ago. And there was this person walking down the street, and they were really unusual looking, and I found out that it was this boy, okay? And it turned out this boy, now in his late 30s, was Buffalo's only homeless person that we had. And over the past 3 or 4 years, he has been homeless. He has a little shack on the outside of town that he lived in, and most of the people in town were scared of him. He was on drugs and alcohol, and he roamed the streets all, you know, you might be out, you know, midnight, and you'd see him walking up and down the streets of Buffalo, dressed very oddly, acting very strangely, and I think that probably most of the town, he was an outcast, and nobody really, I don't know if anybody really tried to help him or not. I know one thing, I didn't try to help him. Well, last weekend, he got arrested for public intoxication, was put in jail. And while he was in jail, some people from Buffalo went down and burned his shack down. And then he got released from jail, and he was walking back to Buffalo. And for some reason, he stretched out in the middle of Route 60 and got ran over by a car and got killed on Tuesday. And when Pam was talking about that just a moment ago in your testimony, we are to reach out to everybody. And I am guilty of being one who would see this person and just drive by and not think a thing about it. But starting on Wednesday, I have missed him every day, not seeing him out, and wondering if there was something that I could have done. And you know, church, we have this battle in our lives all the time, don't we? Is this not a Christian conflict? Thank you, Lord, for pulling this all together for me. Is it not a conflict to know when to do what's right and when not to do? It is, isn't it? It is. Does everybody remember who Woody Hayes was, the coach of Ohio State many years ago? When he first got to Ohio State, he told the story about he was standing right in the middle of the stadium before he ever coached his first game. He had just come from a couple of little small colleges, and he was there in the middle of the stadium. There's 86,000 empty seats all around him, and at that moment he was beginning to wonder if he didn't make a mistake. And his little boy was right beside of him, and his little boy said, "Daddy, don't worry about how big the stadium is, because the field is the same size as it was at the other schools." Well, you know, the battle may seem overwhelming, all right, but the playing field is always the same, and it's always God's battle, okay? I mean, God loves us so much that, you know, whenever we do battle with the enemy, the Lord is with us, and it's his battle, okay? It is not ours. And when we go through life and we have these conflicts, we need to remember that God has equipped us. And he is with us, okay? And that is what I'm going to talk about this morning, all right? So if you have your Bibles and you want to read along, Ephesians 6, chapter 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10, okay? God loves us and he comforts us. He does equip us to battle the enemy. And the Apostle Paul is very much aware that we are going to have these battles in life, okay? And some of the battles we're going to win, some of the battles we're going to lose, all right? But God is always with us, all right? God is always with us, so fear not. All right, chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that within I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just ask that right now that your Holy Spirit will just anoint us, dear Lord. The words that I'm about to speak are not mine, they are yours. I give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, I mean, he was wise, a spiritually minded apostle of Jesus Christ. And after speaking about the greatness of Christ and the glory of this high calling that he has on his life and the life that follows from it, he talks about all those subjects in the previous chapters here in Ephesians. But now he's going to remind us that as Christians, life cannot be lived without spiritual battles. Okay, we have spiritual battles. Anytime that there is good, there is always bad lurking, all right? My best friend and his wife was witnessing to me before I got saved. They would come to my house all the time. My best friend, he told me a bold-faced lie. He told me that if I would get saved, all my problems would be solved. Every time I see him, I remind him of that. We get a laugh out of it, okay? But the Christian walk is not an easy walk, is it? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. In the first couple of verses I shared with you, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and put on the armor and stand against the devil." I mean, the Bible teaches that our enemy is the devil. He is Satan. He is the dragon. He is real, isn't he? You know, some sophisticated Christians, they might scoff at this thing called a devil. Some of the more liberal preachers that I personally know, they'll tell you that there is no Satan, all right? That there is no bad, and that we're all okay. That there is no right from wrong. But 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about you, seeking whom he may devour." Whom he may devour. He's not playing. He doesn't play, does he? Satan is out there, and Satan is a reality. Now, I know sometimes we want to be an ostrich. We want to stick our heads in the sand. We might want to ignore it. We might want to hope that it goes away. But he is out there, and he doesn't wear a little red suit, okay? He doesn't carry a pitchfork. Our scripture here says that he is cunning, that he is crafty, and his wiles are attractive, and they are deceptive, and they are ensnaring. Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Satan is your personal enemy. Amen?
Amen?
Personal. It is personal. He wants you. How does he destroy people? He destroys people one sin at a time, one person at a time, one family at a time, one church at a time. It all starts with one person and one sin. The rest follows. He is your personal enemy. This is a one-on-one personal struggle. It is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of an evil authority. I mean, make no mistake about it, church. Satan is real, and he is after you every moment to bring you down. He wants to discourage you. He wants to put that thought in your mind that's going to make you take a step back. He wants to put that little tiny feeling in your heart to slow you down from where God wants you to go. But you know what? We need to be comforted this morning because God has given us some protection, hasn't he? In our verses this morning, 14 through 70, Paul tells us of our protection that we have. It is compared to that of a soldier. It's called the armor of God. You know, probably the prison soldiers that Paul was seeing was wearing the things that he is describing here. But Paul, what does Paul always do? He always makes it spiritual, doesn't he? And in life, we need protection, right? We have a house to keep us, give us shelter, to keep us out of the elements. We wear seatbelts in our car to keep us from having an accident. We need protection as Christians, and God has given it to us. Paul talks about having the belt of truth, okay? He has provided us with a belt of truth. Truth is revealed in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that protects us. Amen? It is the Word of God. If you take a stand on any subject, stand on the Word of God and you're going to be okay. Amen. You're going to be all right. God has provided you with a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers up here, right? It protects your heart, the vital organs. Jesus wants to be in your heart this morning. Jesus wants to be in your heart right now. God has provided you with sandals of peace. This is protection so you can go out and proclaim the Word of God. You can go forth and share love and forgiveness. Don't be apprehensive about who you're going to go and witness to, all right? If that guy looks crazy walking down the street and God's telling you that you need to stop, maybe you should stop. Amen? Amen. He has given you protection. We also have a shield of faith, and this shield is large enough for full protection against anything. Faith is utter dependence upon Jesus Christ. It is faith that puts God between you and the enemy. It is Jesus who is standing there. And finally, Paul tells us that we have this helmet that we wear, a helmet of salvation. And this helmet protects the head, right? A place of supposedly intelligence, right? But it protects us from what we hear, protects us from false teachings, okay? It gives us confidence. It gives us boldness to be able to say what's up here, what we have learned in here. So God has provided us with abundant protection, hasn't he? And there is nothing for us to fear because God is on our side. And he protects us completely. He has equipped us very well. He even provides us some offensive weapons here. We have this helmet, we have a sword, and we have prayer. And even these protective elements, they have an offensive nature about them, okay? I mean, truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation, all these things make the enemy run. They make the enemy run. And they become a weapon for us. But the most important weapon that we have is our sword. You know, the sword was the chief weapon of, you know, that was used in defense for the Roman soldier. And our sword is the Word of God. You know, the Bible, you know, in every battle that we wage against, the Bible is our best weapon to be using. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is living. Hear that? The Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrows and the discerner of all the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is a powerful thing we have here. The Word of God is all-powerful. It is undefeatable, and it is the final authority in all of our battles. You know, in today's world, we have all these different weapons, tanks and airplanes and guns and bombs and things, that our weapon is more powerful. Our weapon can stop those weapons if it's used just right. If it's used just right. Our God is so wonderful that he protects us and he gives us all these wonderful things. And if he's going to provide us with all this protection, with all these elements to use, don't you think that he's going to give us victory in the end? Don't you think he's going to give us victory? He tells us about victory in these verses I just shared with you. In verse 11, it says that we will be able to stand against. And in verse 13, it tells us that we may be able to withstand the evil day. You see, in the end, Satan is going to be defeated. And he is going to lose the war. But in the meantime, we are still to fight the battles, aren't we? We need to win every single battle that we can for Christ. When I was in high school, I played football. I played offensive tackle. And, you know, when the game started, that defensive guy would line up across from me. And every single down, we were battling against one another. And sometimes I would win. Sometimes he would win. But neither one of us would give up. And we kept fighting because we wanted to win every time. In church, as a Christian, that should be our mindset. We want to win every time. Turning from temptation. Turning from the discouragement of Satan. Do it one day at a time. One battle at a time. Revelation 2:7, Jesus says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." We are overcomers and conquerors because of Jesus this morning. But to overcome, you got to fight it. You've got to fight the battles. See, we're on this spiritual conflict, and the enemy is after you this morning, and he wants you to fail. This morning, if there's something in your life that you know that God wants you to do, but the enemy is hindering you from doing it, keep fighting on. Don't give up. God has given you the resources to overcome this morning. Take a stand for Jesus. This morning, step out on faith. Take a stand. Step out on faith and receive Christ as your personal Savior. If you have a temptation in your life that you're constantly giving into, this morning, take a stand. Say no more. I'm turning this thing over to Jesus and come to the altar and give it to him. You know, he will remove sin from your life. All this is done through the power of Jesus Christ. And it all starts with us humbling ourselves before God in prayer. In verse 18 of our scripture, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." There's the key, in the Spirit. You know, Paul's not talking about this little 5-second prayer that we say before we have lunch every day. All right? It was supposed to be a joke, guys. All right. We need to be in prayer in the Spirit, asking God to help us to fight these Christian conflicts in life. Jesus hears us and rewards us. He hears us. He rewards us. And he wants you to turn to him today. We battle the best when we're in prayer. When we pray the most is when we battle the best. The secret to victory lies in Christ alone, in our faith in him. So do you need to feel the power today? I mean, have you been battling and battling and battling to overcome something in life and you just feel like giving up? God has equipped you to overcome. And through Christ, you can. You know, the Christian walk is full of conflict. Every day is conflict. Put on the full armor of God, all right? Because no matter how big the conflict is, the battlefield is the same as far as God's concerned. Amen? It's the same. Let us pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just ask that right now you just touch our hearts here this evening, dear God. And dear Lord, if there's something going on in our lives that we know that we need to get rid of, if we need to come forward and accept you as our personal Savior, if we need to just have some temptation removed from us, dear Heavenly Father. We pray this evening or this morning that you will just look upon our hearts, that you will just touch us, and that you will just give us the faith to pray for deliverance today, because you have given us victory through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, Pam, you have a song for us?
365.
365.